Hey guys, welcome to another fabulous episode of In Your Head with yours truly, Chris Medina. It is just you and I today. It is a solo episode, and I'm going to take full advantage of the fact that I have you all to myself today. I want to go over emails on today's episode. I want to discuss Mercury retrograde, and I also want to share a couple of ideas that I've been kicking around for the last couple of weeks. So let's jump right the fuck into it. Let's do it. First up to bat is Mercury retrograde. You guys, please, please, please stop freaking out about Mercury retrograde. We have this shit happen to us 3 or 4 times a year. It is nothing new. Stop paying attention to the dumb fucks that are posting stupid ass shit about Mercury retrograde and blaming everything on it. Because at the end of the day, we take the retrograde away and it goes direct. These people are going to be stupid at the end of the day. So let them do what they do best, which is not pay attention. You pay attention to what you need to pay attention to, and do you. Do not stop living your life. Do not be fearful of Mercury retrograde. Again, I've told you before, anytime there's a negative, there's always a positive. So this time, Mercury retrograde is in the sign of Pisces. That could be a little bit of a doozy, I'm not going to lie here. Pisces is the last sign of the zodiac, so it absorbs all the energy of all the other signs, and it is an emotional and energetic sponge. It picks up and feels everything around it. So during this retrograde, you're probably going to be a little bit depressed, a little bit emotional, a little bit kind of touchy-feely when it comes to certain things. That is okay. Whatever is bothering you, if you find yourself feeling that type of emotion, let that shit go. Seriously, you guys, I've told you before, I have no problem releasing emotion, even a temper tantrum. As I said before, if you find yourself feeling a little bit more temperamental or feeling like you want to lash out during this retrograde, do it in a productive way. Do not take it out on anybody unless they have it coming to them and they need to be told what the fuck. Because again, Pisces is also the sign of learning how to set boundaries. So during this time, you might have to set boundaries with people here. Do not be afraid to step up to the plate and set those boundaries and put people in their place, again, in a productive way. If you do not want to lash out at anybody, do what I do, because again, I could be horrible when it comes to lashing out. I have a dirty ass shirt that's already ripped, that already has holes in it. I put that fucker on, I grab my pillow, and I scream into that bitch for however long it takes me to get that emotion out here, and I rip that shirt to shreds. I know you guys are probably thinking I'm crazy and would love to see a video of that to see how I get down, but seriously, guys, it's the best thing I can do for myself, because I hate holding on to that anger or that feeling there, because I know that if Jay says something stupid or there's somebody in traffic that fucks with me, I'm gonna fucking lash out like no one's ever seen, and it will probably cause thunder and lightning. So I don't want to do that or come across that way here. So I'd rather just, again, let it out in my own privacy, by myself there, lashing out, throwing a temper tantrum. If I'm feeling emotional or I'm feeling sad, I've told you guys this before, I get in the car, I put music on that matches the mood, and I cry. I mourn out whatever needs to be dealt with there. If I'm feeling like I need to go back and let some emotion out here, or go over a situation that's a little bit sensitive to me, I have to do that. I will go back and make sure that I'm fully over it, or I learned the lesson behind why I was feeling that way, and I release. There is nothing wrong with that, you guys. It does not lead into depression. It does not lead into anything bigger or worse than that here. Do not dishonor that feeling. Honor that feeling and just go with it. Take the time that you need to let the emotion out and give yourself the opportunity to deal with it. There's nothing wrong with it, because at the end of the day, if you keep sweeping that energy under a rug, you are going to trip over that. Believe you me. So just, it's best to handle it and get it out of the way. As I said before, whenever there's a negative, there's always a positive to it. So look at the sign of Pisces. The sign of Pisces is a very creative sign. It's also very imaginative. It's also very intuitive, artistic, dreamy. It's about bringing vision into reality. No matter how weird or abstract that it comes across here, it is what you are feeling on the inside. So utilize that energy. If you are a writer, utilize the Pisces energy to get you to be a little bit more creative and put yourself out there. If you're an artist, get on that fucking canvas and start putting your vision onto that board and just go with it here. If you're a singer, get in touch with the emotions that you are singing about. If you're intuitive like me here, go within. That's what I do during this time, is I go within and I heal myself. I was off social media for a couple of days. I think it was like Monday and Tuesday. I didn't post anything there. I had people reaching out asking if everything was okay. I just needed that time for myself. I wasn't feeling shitty. I just needed to read myself and check in with myself and see how I'm doing, because I get so caught up in my everyday life, giving readings to other people, helping people evolve and transform their lives here, that I don't necessarily do that for myself sometimes. So I needed a couple of days to get in touch with myself, just below the radar type of energy here. I feel good, not depressed, feel great about it here. I advise you to do the same thing. Do not run away from it. Do not be afraid to express yourself during a retrograde here. It does not mean we have to stop living our lives. It just requires you, especially in this day and age when everything is so fast-paced and all over the place, the retrograde actually allows us the opportunity to slow the fuck down, to reassess and reflect here. And that's exactly what the world needs, is to slow down every now and then, just to check in with yourself. So utilize the energy for what it's worth here. If you absolutely have to sign a contract during this time, like I've said before, just look it over 5 or 6 fucking times. Make sure that everything is where it needs to be here. All I's are dotted and all T's are crossed here. Whenever I have to read something during a retrograde, I look it over, I give it to Jay to look it over, and then I do a once over one more time to make sure I'm not missing anything. Just do your part here. Like I've said before, also, you can always count on the other person to be an idiot during this time here. You can't do anything about them. The only thing you can control is yourself. So again, do not be afraid of it. Take a step back, reassess whatever the sign the retrograde is in, utilize the positive aspects of that sign and the energy, and just fucking go with it here. It does not mean you stop living your life here and hide out for 3 weeks. Done with the retrograde. I hope I did you guys justice when it came to that. Let's jump into a couple of emails here. And this has to do with my feeling on other psychics. A lot of times people ask why I don't collaborate with different psychics or different mediums. I have nothing against other psychics or mediums. I've told you this before. I've done that in the past. I've worked events there. I do not think I'm above anybody. I do think that I'm the best at what I do and only what I do here. So I pride myself on that. But I've seen how other people operate, and it's a big fucking turnoff here. When it comes to celebrity psychics, that's another thing too. It's just what it is. It's good television here. I have nothing against them. It earns them money. They do what they do here, but I'm on a different level and a different path than they are. So nothing against them. I just choose to do this on my own and really want to surround myself with people that are truly authentic and true to what they do here and not for show or the money aspect of it. I know you guys are wondering, you know, will you charge for your readings? I have to earn my living as well. I am providing a service to people out there, and I like to pride myself on that, and I do not take advantage of the fact that I'm charging people for it. Like I said before, if it's a half an hour session, it's more like 40 to 45 minutes, still at that flat rate of a half an hour session. If it's an hour, I go above and beyond, maybe an hour and 15 to an hour and a half there. I am not comfortable cutting people off like most psychics do. They have like a timer there, and when the time is up, you gotta go. I am not like that. You cannot solve a person's problems in a half an hour, especially if you're giving a psychic reading and you're going so deep and you're touching people's lives and you're touching their soul there. They are going to have questions. You do not want them leaving there with more questions on their mind than they had walking in there. So I, again, like to pride myself on what I do here. Nothing against anybody else. I'm just cut from a different cloth here, and I will continue to be in my own lane and just pay attention to what I do here. I have nothing against them. Like this Tyler Henry kid, everyone always asks me about him. Nothing against him. Like I said, he's just good TV. And hopefully when I get in that spot there, I'll bring something that's a little bit different than what he does here, because it's me doing it, but I have nothing against him. At the same time, I have nothing for him. So hope that answers your question here. I'm not trying to come across shitty. I'm not trying to say I'm better than everybody else here. I just pride myself on what I do and what sets me apart from everybody else. So that's why I don't fuck with other psychics, but you will see me collaborate with other people that are in it, that are in my personal life, like Michelle Prentice, my good friend Lynn, all those people that I come up with here or that I big up. I have no problem collaborating with other people. I just want to make sure they're true to what they do and they're authentic here. Some of these celebrities that you see on TV, I've never had the opportunity to meet them or to see them in person. I did go to a James Von Prague show. I told you how I felt about that. Anytime you're coming out doing a dance to Black Eyed Peas or you're yelling at the crowd because they're not believing what you're saying, I got a fucking problem with that. So that's my take on other psychics, mediums, and people that are in the spiritual realm. So let's see what the next email says. This one is a doozy. This email talks about family. I constantly get asked this question, Chris, why don't you talk about your family? What is the big mystery surrounding your family? You're very jaded when it comes to talking about family. I will own the jaded part. I will say I'm very jaded when it comes to talking about family. I've mentioned this during my readings before. Whenever people have issues with family and the family makes them feel guilty for wanting to be them or takes a huge toll on their energy or just their mental, I have a fucking problem with that. And I hate the phrase, blood is thicker than water, because that is just what people say in order to get you to be loyal there and always say you put family first. That's fine and dandy. I have no problem with you loving your family. I have a problem with family fucking with you. So when it comes to me and my family, I've told you this before. I mentioned this. I had to cut a few people out when it comes to family here. I have everybody that I need as far as family right now in my life, and I'm completely comfortable with it. I have nothing negative to say about the people that I cut out that were family. I just don't fuck with them anymore. That is a door that will remain closed, that I will never go back to here. No harm, no foul. I hold no resentment towards them. No ill will or bad feelings. It's just I don't fuck with you anymore, and I moved above and beyond all that shit, and I'm just ready to just do me and not have that shit linger around anymore here. Again, no, there was no huge arguments or whatever. But again, when it comes to you and your family, I get this shit all the time during readings. You know, people have issues with their mom or their dad and how, you know, suppressive they could be here, and they have a hard time letting go. If it is making you feel bad, baby, if you are feeling shitty because of what your parents are inflicting on you or the rules and beliefs or just their energy here, cut them the fuck loose. You don't have to do it forever or be as extreme as I am, but cut them loose for just a little bit. Close that door for just a little bit until you can get your bearings back and you can think a little bit more clearly when it comes to family and what it is that you want to do. But you should not allow family to hinder you from what you want to do or hinder your feelings or take such an emotional toll on you that that's all you think about is what is my family going to think here? Because again, if blood is thicker than water, what is their excuse for treating you like shit? How does that work on their end? We're supposed to just sit there and take it because they're family? Bullshit, you guys. That's where I draw the line. That's where I actually set boundaries at. And I'm like, nope, I'm not trying to get you to believe what I believe. There is no use trying to, you know, implement my thought process into you. You are just not going to get it. But what I can do is I can walk away from the situation here and just not have it infiltrate my life anymore or be a problem. I chose to get rid of that. And again, I'm not telling you that you should be that extreme, but if that's what you need to do, back yourself up with a good couple of months. Just step away there. Just gain some clarity on the situation here. See how you feel afterward. And if you decide you want to go back there, go back. But set boundaries before you go back. Get ready to make a speech about what you want to set there before you go back and you have your thoughts clear there. But do not allow family to make you feel like shit or take an emotional toll on you. It's just not worth it. I don't care how close you guys are, or again, that phrase, blood is thicker than water here. If you need the space, you need the space. I'm all about what you need and how to make you feel better and how to get you to evolve and just kind of learn to enjoy and relax with your life here. So if you need to step away, even with friendships that you've been friends with people for so long here, sometimes, like I said before, you outgrow people, you outgrow family as well. Just because their family doesn't make them above anything else, they're still people at the end of the day. One quick example here when it comes to family. I was talking to a friend of mine and she was setting restrictions on herself about her dating life and waiting for her kids to get older before she starts introducing something a little bit more serious into their lives here. And I had mentioned to her that sounds like a great plan, but I just don't want you not living your life and waiting for your kids to grow up and before you jump into a relationship, because at the end of the day, I'm telling you right now, kids are people as well. As much as we don't look at them as everyday other people because they are our kids, they are kids, they are people, they have their own personalities, they have their own way of thinking. Be sure to honor yourself. I'm not telling you to disregard your kids here, but do not stop living your life and do not base your life around other people here. I know that sounds shitty, but it is the truth, because what ends up happening is when they grow up or family starts to distance themselves from you or you have issues with them and you were so loyal because you believe that whole motto, blood is thicker than water, you are going to end up resentful. You are going to end up feeling like shit because you really put yourself out there. That does not mean they are going to stay loyal to you. So do not stop living your life or basing your life around any other person. That includes your husband. That includes your kids. That includes your family. Do what you feel is right for you. I'm not telling you to be selfish, but I'm telling you, do not restructure yourself around somebody else. I don't care how close you are to that person here. People will continue to be disappointments here. And if that sounds jaded, I am sorry. But at the end of the day, you will have no regrets about yourself and the decisions that you made so long as you choose to honor yourself. That is my stance on family. I hope I did you justice with that one. Okay, here's another email that I get asked a lot about, or questions that I get asked in the form of an email. This is my meditation techniques. I've said this before, it is extremely hard for me to meditate during the day or just in general. I have so many different thoughts going in here. And I know I sound crazy saying that. I got a lot of psychic hits. I got stuff from the spiritual realm that comes into play, but I do. My mind never shuts off. If I'm in a restaurant, like I've said before, my friends will call me out like, why are you reading them? I can't help it. My mind just goes there. It would be like, it's like breathing to me actually. So when it comes to meditation, I do that at the end of the night. That is when I'm in bed. The house is completely quiet. Everybody is asleep. That is my downtime. That's where I don't feel any energy from anybody else around me because they are knocked out and in la-la land, sleeping, doing them. So that's the best time for me to unload and get in touch with myself. A lot of times it's, I don't know if it's so much meditation as it is prayer. I go over the day, I assess what I did, how I went about it, if I could have done anything differently, how I felt about my mood, how I treated other people, how my readings went here, if I get any more feedback on the person that I was reading that I can reach out to them and say, oh, this is what they were telling me as well. Whatever the case may be, I do a lot of reflecting towards the end of the night there to get rid of anything that's either holding me back or that I need to be paying attention to that I didn't get the chance to do during the day because I was so busy. Because again, like I said, I spend so much time reading other people that it's hard for me to check in with myself every now and then. So, but I try to do the best that I can at night during my meditation, and it's really simple. So I'll say, please remove any negative thoughts from my mind, any feelings of doubt, any shame, any guilt, any laziness, distraction, replace it with positivity, intuition, clarity, vision, insight, confidence, drive, ambition, whatever it is that I'm feeling at that moment, I ask for that in return. And then I always ask, you know, that they heal my mind, body, and soul, remove any sickness or illness from my body, you know, allow me to be healthy here, allow my body to do the talking for me, tell me what I need to put into it. Caitlin's words, Caitlin Douglas, from the episode that I had with her, I think it was called Next Stop Ascension with Caitlin Douglas, she said something that will always resonate with me forever, and it's the body knows what it wants. So I always ask my body, what can I do for you? How can I honor you? What do you need here? And my body will actually speak back to me. Whether you choose to call it my guides, angels, and messengers, it really does a number on me, and it tells me what I need here, what I need to pay attention to. I mentioned at the top of the year that I was on this new fitness regimen and this new diet. Well, you guys, I fucked up. I spent a good couple of weeks eating like shit. I am a fucking nasty ass Taurus, you guys. I love me some motherfucking food and some grub, and I fell off the fucking wagon. Like alcoholics fall off the wagon, I fell off on a food coma, started eating bad shit. I jumped right back on the horse, regained control of the reins, and now I'm back on my path and I'm on a good course. I'm back at the gym. I have a little over a month to get my shit together for my pictures. This is the end of the bargain that I have to hold up to my guides and get ready for pictures after my birthday. I think I can do this. I think I can lose 15 pounds within this month. So, you guys, cheer me on. Feel free to jump in and talk shit to me if I need it when it comes to my diet here. I know Brandy Celestino has no problem calling me out on my diet. The other day I posted pictures of P.F. Chang's and Brian's shaved eyes out there in Sherman Oaks. I love fucking shaved eyes. And she was like, that's not on your diet. I'm like, I know, let a bitch live though. It's so fucking hard. But my girl, Brandy, has lost 17 fucking pounds by being dedicated. My girl does not fuck around when it comes to her diet. She is really putting the work, the time, and the effort in to make sure that she heals her body and she honors it. My girl Marissa Mendez, Jesus, that fucking bitch, she is looking bomb as fuck, sexy as all hell. Sometimes, I mean, I really wish I was a woman. I really, really do. It's such a shame that I had to come back as a man. I'm just kidding. But yeah, Marissa Mendez is looking amazing. She is honoring her body, her diet. She does fall off the wagon and she makes no fucking excuses for it, but that girl gets right back on and kills it. So if they can do it and they have the strength to do it, I definitely will use them as an inspiration and continue on my journey when it comes to losing weight. Here again, I got pictures. Also, another thing, you guys, I'm not going to go too far into it, but I got 3 confirmations this week about my baby that's out there waiting for me to jump into his arms. I had 3 confirmations this week. Here, I'm not going to share it with you because Jay will make fun of me on his next solo episode with me. So, but yes, this person actually, I'm a couple steps closer to making them mine and getting involved in this relationship. So wish me luck on that, guys. So I'm going to continue to use these confirmations as drive and determination to lose the fucking weight, get my pictures out there. One other thing when it comes to this diet and how I'm putting myself out there, Rachel O'Brien for Be Here for a While podcast and Screwed Stories. It's another podcast that she's in on. Her and I did her podcast together a couple of weeks back, and she posted a picture of me and her on Instagram. I got so many compliments on that picture, you guys. Thank you so much for reaching out and making a bitch's day. You guys made me feel so good about myself. I love that picture. I just wish I was looking at the camera, didn't have that stupid look like I was dazing off in another direction. But yeah, I mean, I figured I'm going to be 43 in a month. And I honestly, I don't feel like I look 43. I get all kinds of compliments that I don't look 43 here. So I'm going to honor the way that I look while I got it. So yeah, big a girl up if you guys need to. For me, that bleeds into meditation and how I go about doing that. I just want to honor my body. I want to honor my look. I want to honor everything about me, my mind, my body, and my soul there, and ask for guidance and insight. So that's my form of meditation. A lot of people use guided meditation, like they have to put sounds on or they want to follow the meditation mantras of other people. Nothing wrong with that. Whatever gets you off and gets you in the zone when it comes to meditation, I am all for. Nobody does it exactly the same way. It's all different for everybody else. Find a groove that fucks with you and rock that groove. Okay, so the next question that came through was, Chris, how do you define living in the moment? I am constantly hearing people tell me you need to live in the moment, be present. I'll give you a good example of living in the moment, and I hope this does you guys justice. So I did a reading for somebody not too long ago that was very concerned with time and doing everything on a schedule. The first thing that I saw behind this girl's back was a clock. I had told her, what is with you in time? There is a constant race against time to make sure that everything's done in a certain amount of time and on schedule. And she said, that's how I live my life. I like to plan everything out. And I said, there's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with planning your schedule and, you know, making plans for the future and things like that. But remember to live in the moment while you are doing it. Make sure that you are taking time, if you will, to smell the flowers and enjoy what you have in the present time here. This person never allowed herself the opportunity to do that. She was wanting to be in a relationship. She ended up getting in a relationship. She ended up getting engaged by a certain time. Everything that she put out there as far as like a schedule, she made happen. She's really good at balancing her time and putting everything down in writing and making it come into fruition here. But with that being said, what she lacks is, again, being in the moment, allowing herself the opportunity to feel the emotions that she's going through, allowing herself to be in love at the time that everything is going on, enjoying her partner, enjoying her relationship, enjoying her work, because at the end of the day, this woman was very, or she is, very, very successful. She's a very successful businesswoman. She's very independent. She's very good looking on paper, but what she lacks in her life is time for herself, time to enjoy what she has, the fruits of her labor, to eat that fruit that she's been cultivating, she's been nurturing, she's been allowing to bloom in her garden, taking time to pick it out and taste it, smell it, do whatever she needs to do, and enjoy the fact that she has it in her hand since she works so fucking hard for it. Even to this day, she still has an issue with it. Like this girl, I mean, I'm gonna put it out there. This girl even plans the time that she gets to go to the bathroom. Like she has a certain amount of time to run in and take a shit and run the fuck out. That's how much of a schedule this woman is on here. So to me, when you're asking, you know, what does it mean to be more present or live in the moment? That is it. Making sure that you are enjoying everything that's going on in this time and space, because you only get to do it once. You can try to recreate the memory or the vibe there, but the feeling is going to be different each time you do it here. So make sure that you are taking time for yourself to enjoy what you've worked so hard for, to enjoy the relationship that you're in, to enjoy the family that you are around, the work that you do, and making sure that you allow yourself time to soak it all in. Because at the end of the day, like I've said just a second ago, you only get to do this once. So do it right, do it good, do yourself justice by being in the moment. I hope that answers your question. Okay, I'm going to tread really, really lightly with this one here, because I do not want to come across angry when it comes to this topic here. I've had people reach out talking about friends backbiting or stealing their ideas. My good friend Nikki Garcia posted something on Instagram the other day, or no, on Twitter. She had this huge thread going on about people stealing her ideas. My girl works her fucking ass off. This girl is someone that is very independent, very creative, and knows exactly what she wants and gets it the fuck done here. She is not afraid to put herself in the fire and put herself out there and put all the hard work and dedication into what it is that she wants here. So for somebody else to come in here and bite off of her idea, it has to be extremely frustrating and nerve-wracking. So again, when it comes to this topic, I'm going to be really careful here. I have seen this happen before. Nikki obviously seen this happen before. We are two totally different people. I'm obviously a psychic medium. She's an entrepreneur. She is always about building brands or building companies or helping people take their companies and expand and evolve them into what they truly want here. Nikki and I just did some work together the other day. I was at her house. Here's where I'm going to come into play when it comes to idea sharing and bouncing off each other here. I give Nikki psychic readings and or guidance and or insight whenever she asks for it. I do not charge her for it because she is a friend of mine here and I care very deeply for her. She is like a little sister to me, so there's nothing I will not do for her. You guys know how I am when it comes to my people. I'm very loyal and very much about them. So when I reached out to her, I told her I wanted to set up a meeting with her, not just to necessarily hang out, but for business opportunities. I wanted to pick her brain about what my next step was here. I want to rebrand myself. I want to get a fresher look. And who better than Nikki to reach out to? Because this girl's mind is so expansive and so creative here that I love everything that she touches. So we had lunch at her place. We were talking. I was doing a reading with her. We were just having a good time. And she's like, okay, let's get down to business. What is it that you're looking for? And I said, when it comes to this here, I want you to take full control over it. I want you to lead me into the next phase or step of my career here when it comes to aesthetics in my look. I feel like I need to rebrand myself. I need a different logo for the podcast. I want to take my website and I want to bring it into the present time here because I, you know, I'm a little bit older, obviously, and my style is, again, very 90s, very early 2000s. That was my time era. That's where I felt most comfortable at here. So she was giving me different ideas and different looks here and showing me what we can do with this and how I should brand myself. And I was all for it here. Make no mistake, these are all Nikki's ideas. Everything that she brought to the table was out of that big, beautiful brain of hers. And when it comes into fruition and we're done working on the whole thing and I got it to where I need it to be, I'm going to put it out there. But here's what I'm going to do differently. Nikki is going to get the credit for all that shit because that is what she does. If she asked me to give her psychic insight for her business, there's no doubt in my mind that she would give me the credit for that. It isn't like I'm going to take what she says and said, I thought of this myself and take the credit for her hard ass work here. She's going to get the credit that she deserves. When it comes to other people, and I've had this happen to me before, I've seen people write inspirational quotes or quote what I've said and try to make it their own. There's nothing wrong with that. But at the end of the day, give credit and respect and homage where it's due. Do not take someone's idea and label it as your idea here. And that's one of the things that I have a problem with here when it comes to the industry is that you got to be really careful what you share to people because as close as they are to you is as quick as they will take your idea and run with it and try to get credit for your hard ass fucking work. So when it comes to this topic, my only advice to Nikki and to kind of ease her mind and soothe her anger or her frustration when it came to this is remind her they can take our ideas and run with it, but at the end of the day, they are not us. They do not have what it takes, hence the reason why they're stealing everything here and trying to rebrand themselves as her. Be authentic with yourself. Be real with who you are. If you do not have what it takes in you to do what Nikki does or I do or some of your friends do, there is nothing wrong with that. You are good at something completely different than what we are good at here. Honor who you are at the end of the day and stick to what it is that you know, because at the end of the day, everybody's tool belt of life, like I said before, is completely different than the next person here. Use what you've been given in this lifetime and create with your own tools. That's all I'm going to say about that. Again, I don't want to come across negative or angry, even though it infuriates the living shit out of me. Okay, so the next email I'm going to go over has to do with grounding. Chris, how do you stay so grounded? How do you ground yourself at the end of the day and not absorb the energy of other people? That is difficult. I tell you guys all the time, I struggle with grounding myself all the time because I feel so fucking much, but it is a must for me to make sure that I do that on a daily, hourly type of basis. I always have to check in with myself and cut the cords of people that I am reading so they're not attached to me throughout the entire day or I'm not picking up their energy. Same should go with you as well. Make sure that you maintain a level of grounding at all fucking times. Make sure that you check in with yourself. Make sure that if you are going to go get a reading, that you ground yourself right afterward there and do not take on the energy of the other person that's giving you the reading. Or if the reading is too woo, too far out there, like I said with these past life regressions where they're bringing in your past life and talking about, you know, what a warrior you used to be or all this like imaginary type of stuff here, make sure at the end of the day you check in with yourself. And if it doesn't feel feel like you or if it feels off, get rid of that way of thinking or that energy there. Do not be afraid to shrug it off. There's a lot of people that come to me for readings that their energy is just all over the place. When it comes to those types of reading, yes, I have to maintain a level of grounding with myself there, even when it comes to the medium side of readings here, because that is very, very fucking intense. I am picking up on the energy of the spirit, if you will, the memory of that person, the way that they live their life, and wishing that they were still here, especially when they're talking to their father or their mother, or, you know, the mother and father comes through and is talking to their child, or it's a grandchild there. There's a need of to be emotional. There's a need to want to touch. The spirit wants to touch the person that I'm reading or be close to them and misses touching them or being around them. So for me, I have to disconnect. I sometimes cry after I do readings because the energy is so intense and it's very emotional for me. So I have to remember, Chris, that is their reading. That is an emotion that they are feeling here. You can allow yourself to feel what you are feeling, but you cannot take that on afterward. You have to learn how to disconnect. So that's what I do. And somebody had mentioned this to me. I think it was a Reiki healer back in Oregon. The one good Reiki healing that I got was that people are like cords to you. They can attach themselves like cords to your body here. So what this person did was tell me that in order to ground yourself and to remove yourself, imagine yourself cutting those cords between you and that other person and disconnect from that way there. But to me, that works. To me, that makes me feel better. Even if it is just all in the mind here, to be able to disconnect and not bring that energy with me is what I need to do in order to ground myself. And here's another thing too, and I haven't done it, you know, for these last couple of months, is weed. Like smoking weed really grounds me. And I know that's weird because people are like, but you're stoned. That's exactly what I need because it numbs me and it allows me to kind of decompress and relax here. So I hope I answered your question when it comes to grounding. Hope I did you justice with that. If you have any more questions, do not hesitate to reach out when it comes to that. Okay, so here's another good email. This has to do with Marissa Mendez in her episode, Love You, My Girl. People were wanting to know what the intention spell was that I did with her, and people were wanting to know what it was there. Not necessarily her spell, but what does it mean to do an intention spell? The way that I do mine is probably completely different than anyone that you've gone to or any type of spell that you've done. A lot of times psychics, witches, anybody that's in the spiritual realm wants to do intention work for somebody else. And I've mentioned this before on episodes way, way back that I refuse to take a candle that already has somebody else's intention on it or do a spell that has somebody else's intention on there because who knows what the fuck they are going through on that day or in their life that could bleed out into yours, and I do not want that energy there. So with Marissa, we'll just use her as a quick example. I'm not going to give everything away here, but when it comes to intention work with her, I go get the supplies for her. I do not put any intention into it. I get the candle that resonates with her and the energy that we're going to work on during our session, and I'll get an image candle. So there's two different candles that I get. One is the long church candles, the ones that are in the glass vase that come in different colors. So for this time around, it would have been a red color for Marissa, and I always get an image candle. And if you don't know what an image candle is, it's just a candle that's carved out to look like a man or a woman. So depending on the intention that we're working on, I'll get either or. So a good majority of the time, it is an image candle that resonates with you. So if you are a female, I'll get a female image candle. If you are a male, I'll get a male image candle. The most important thing about these intention spells is your intention and what you put into it. Like I said before, I get the supplies. I'll bring the oils that we need to anoint the candles with. I'll get the saging stuff that I need to sage the candle with and any type of incense that I need to bless the candle with there. And after I'm done walking the person through saging and cleansing their candle, once I hand the candle to you, that's the only time that I touch that candle. And then I ask you to clean my energy off of it. Take a sage stick and sage the shit out of both candles, any supplies that we are working with, to get my energy off of it. And then I also get a mixture of incense. I have a spiritual blend of incense. I have frankincense. I got a couple of other, I think I used dragon's blood incense on there and a couple of other things. And I put that all in a charcoal disc and I let it burn up, and I have the person cleanse their candle and their space with it. I make sure 100% that I do not touch the candles after they have cleansed it, because again, I don't want my energy on there. And so anytime that I'm around it, I really, really pay attention to where I'm at, and I back the fuck up to make sure that I don't touch it. I bring the oils that you need to anoint the candles with, and I have that person do it again for themselves. And then I ask them, okay, what is it that you want to do here? And I kind of give them a mental image of what they need to put out there or what they should possibly say, but I make sure that they utilize their own words and they spend at least, here's the difference, is at least 2 to 3 days with those candles. You are going to think I'm fucking crazy when I tell you this, but I advise you to sleep with them, or at least sleep right next to them. And the image candle that portrays you, I want you to put your energy into it. If you need to cry, if you are working out emotions that you want to get rid of, or you're wanting to better your appearance or your life, or attract success and attract opportunity, abundance, prosperity, whatever the case may be, I want you to feel everything you are saying and put it into that fucking candle. I want you to spend time with it. I want you to hold it. I want you to put it up against your forehead. I want you to put it next to your heart. I want you to be very personal with it. I'm not asking you to fuck the candle. I am simply telling you to put your energy into it and make sure you spend good quality time with it, because this represents who you are. So the other candle, the church candle, the one that's in the glass vase, that's a little different there. That is more of like the intention and the release there. So again, it kind of coincides with the image candle, but this is more about the opportunities that you want to attract. It's not as personal as the image candle, because remember, the image candle represents you. The other candle is your intention and what you want to attract to you. So in this case, for a red candle, it would be, again, people have their different beliefs here. I don't care what their beliefs are. I'm wanting you to put your own beliefs in it. So for me, red represents power. That every time I see a red band around somebody in a reading, that represents that they're either coming into their power or reclaiming a power that they had lost. So for Marissa, this was reclaiming her power, because that girl is already powerful enough as it is. She just got knocked down a couple of pegs. So I wanted her to reclaim her power, get in touch with herself. And I also associate red with attraction, with seduction, with it's not so much love as it is attracting to me. Pink is more love and more lovey-dovey to me, and it's more romantic. But red represents power, seduction, and being attractive and attracted to other people, attracting other people towards you and near you. So I told her what to put into that intention candle, but make no mistake, she was going to do the work herself. This girl gets it. I'm telling you right now, I love doing intention work with her, because her and I were both feeling shitty. I bought candles for myself that same day, but I did not light them for a few days afterward. And I had reached out to Marissa. I said, did you light your intention candle yet? And she was like, no. And I was like, why? I knew why. I just wanted to hear what she had to say. And she was like, because I wasn't feeling it. She said, I was feeling depressed. I was feeling a little shitty, and I had old feelings that were coming back and resurfacing when it came to that relationship that I did not want to bleed into my candles. I could have slapped my fucking self across the face, because I was like, oh my God, you get it. She knows what she wants to put out there, and she knows the power of mind here. So her taking a step back and not allowing herself to just light the candle just for the sake of lighting it was special to me, because again, at the end of the day, I know what she wants, and I know how hard she's going to work to get it there. And she did not want anything to come in and fuck that up. So that is my way when it comes to intention candles. So anybody that wants me to do a workshop on it, or I can even, you know, maybe in a month or two, I'm going to put it a month out there. Maybe in a month I can do an intention candle workshop over YouTube or something like that, and just post it up on Instagram or whatever the fuck the case may be. Just so you guys can kind of get familiarized with how I do it and how I work it. Maybe I'll have Marissa be a guest star in it. I don't know. Girl, if you're down for that, let me know. But yeah. That's how I get down with intention candle. It is all you. Clean off the energy of anybody that's around it and touches it, and make sure, like I've said before, that there's nobody in the house that's going to mess with it. Let it burn to its entirety. It is not going to burn the house down. Marissa can vouch for this. She's done this at least 3 times here, and it's never caused a fucking fire. Just be careful where you put it at, but do not blow it out. So that is my intention email. Hope I covered that. Hope I did you guys justice with that one. Let me know if you want to know more about it. Okay, so I had mentioned earlier on in the episode that I had a couple of ideas that I was kicking around. I want to share one of those ideas with you guys. A lot of times when I do readings, people obviously have children. People want to know about their children's lives. They want me to provide insight as to how they're going to grow up and the things that are going on with them and what kind of a person they're going to be. I do not mind doing those types of readings. I actually look forward to them. I wish more parents would reach out to me and have their kids get readings, because I feel like the earlier we can catch shit, we can help them and we can lead them to a better life and help the soul evolve quicker or have a better understanding of spirituality and what you need to do, with the energy that you've been given in this lifetime. So to be able to tap into a child's mind, again, remember, it's fresh, it's young, it's very impressionable. I do not want to manipulate that child, but I want them to have an understanding of who they are. So this goes into a reading that I just got done doing. There was a mother that reached out and was talking about her 16-year-old son and the things that were going on with him. I was able to tap into his energy field, tap into his mind to see where he was at. There were some issues with smoking pot, and I had asked her if he was having problems in school, and she said that he was just not focused, that he was having issues with the kids around him. And I had mentioned to her, your son is highly intuitive. And a lot of times people mistake intuition in a child being intuitive for like ADD or ADHD or as a learning disability here. It's not that they have a learning disability. I don't discount that there's a mental or learning disability there, but a lot of times these kids are more visual. I know my son, when he was growing up and he was in school, I'd mentioned this before, I think on another episode, he had problems in the first grade. One of the teachers had reached out to me and wanted to have a parent-teacher conference with me and was talking about how my son was a little slower than most of the kids in the class, and that he wasn't catching on, and this and that, and that she was afraid there was a learning disability, blah, 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 blah. So I'm sitting there, I'm listening to her, and I know my son, like every other parent knows their kid, but I don't take bullshit, and I wasn't trying to be combative, and I wasn't trying to be shitty with her, but I had to stop her from what she was saying, because she was basically wanting me to say that my son was stupid, or that he had a learning disability, and I know damn well that he doesn't. He just needs to be focused, he needs to pay attention, and he needs a stricter type of person to mentor him and or guide him. So I stopped her from her bashing, and I'd asked her, do you talk to the kids in the same tone that you're talking to me right now in? And she said, yes. Why? Is that a problem? And I said, you have this same type of tone when you're teaching. And she said, yes. I said, it is no wonder that my son is having a hard time in your class, because it is taking everything in me not to fall asleep as you're speaking to me right now. My son does not resonate with you. You are not for every child. And if you are going to teach, you got to realize that you got to cater to the personality of the children that you are teaching, and realize that every child is completely different from the next. Because I'm telling you right now, again, he needs someone a lot more strict. I am very direct and very vocal in my house. My voice is very loud and it can be very robust. It's not shitty, but that's how he responds, and he needs to have somebody wake his ass up. I had told her that I'm going to go see the principal and I'm going to have him removed from her class. No harm, no foul. I didn't want to make her feel bad, but at the same time, she wanted me to admit to something that just wasn't true. So I had my son removed and put into another teacher's class that was a little bit more hardcore. My son woke the fuck up in her class. This teacher had reached out to me and said, there's nothing wrong with him. He just needs to be focused here. And once I realized what his problem was and was able to work with him, he snapped out of it. Do not believe everything a teacher tells you. There are some really good teachers out there, and there's some people that just do it for the fucking paycheck. You are working with the mind of a child. How you treat that child in that class has a lasting effect on the way they grow up here. So if you're making them feel stupid in the class, how do you think the rest of the kids are going to treat that child? You're just setting that kid up for failure. So when it comes to readings here, I want to read, I don't know, I'm kind of tiptoeing through the age frame here, but maybe 12 and up when it comes to a child here. There are some kids that are really, really, really spiritual younger than that. I would not mind working with them. I'm gonna have to use my better judgment when it comes to it here. But again, this child that I was speaking about in this reading was highly intuitive, and they just felt a lot. They were feeling on the energy of the kids around them, the energy of the teacher, just like I did when I was a kid, and there was nothing wrong with him. He just needed to have somebody come in and tap into his mind and unlock it. So I'm gonna be doing some work with this woman and her child and kind of bringing him out a little bit more and tapping into his ability here. I do not want to make him woo-woo, but I want him to dump out his tool belt of life that he has right now. He's definitely going to start picking up different tools and adding to his tool belt, but I want to work with what he has right now and make him realize, or have him realize, not make him, but have him realize that there's nothing wrong with him. I do not want a child feeling weird because they just feel more than another child here. I had mentioned this when I was doing a podcast with Michelle Prentice and Brandy Celestino on Bubbles and Bitches, that I would not mind opening my own school where you're able to work with people, even regular people or even spiritual people, whatever. Have these people have a better understanding of who they are. Incorporate spirituality, not woo-woo shit, but spirituality into their education there, and get in touch with their feelings. the world that we live in here, like I said way on earlier in this episode, is so fucking fast-paced. It is all over the place. Everything is electronic. Everything is given to us. We don't work for it anymore. And I know that I'm older than most people here, but I had to work for what I wanted growing up there. There was no iPad. There was no iPhone. There was no cell phone here. You had to use your imagination and work with what you had here. But now the world is changing and everything is so accessible to children and to people nowadays that it limits their ability to deal with emotion and handle their day-to-day lives here. That's why people are so fucked up here, because they are emotionally detached from shit. Nobody wants to get in touch with their feelings. I'm not saying that I want to make people a pile of mush here. I just want to have them have a better understanding of who they are and what they came here to learn and how to handle their emotions. Take the weak part of them and strengthen that, and take the better part of them and just have them thrive and enjoy that part of them. Have them realize who they are at the end of the day and not compare themselves to other people, and realize that everybody has their own, like I said before, their own unique abilities here. How can we sharpen them? How can we strengthen them? How can we evolve people into the next level or the next phase of life here? How do we transform people's lives for the better instead of making them feel bad for who the fuck they are? That's, I'm sorry, I was definitely passionate on that one, you guys. But when it comes to kids, I love children. I love babies. Like Ali Levine, her daughter Amelia, what a soul that baby is. I am so connected to her, and she is so connected to me, and she's also very connected to Jay. A lot of people would say, well, she's a baby. She's going to be connected to whoever's going to hold her. That's not true. She is very, very perceptive and very smart. I am so blessed to have her in my life, and I cannot wait to see what she does with her life, and I want to help her out every step of the way that I can, if she wants and if she needs it, and if Allie would allow me to. Again, I just want to bring out the better in people, and I want to start at an early age. So when it comes to these retreats here, I'm thinking about having like a little camp, you know, where people can, you know, where people can drop their kids off. You can stay if you want to here, just so there, you know, there's no bullshit going on. I know there's a lot of shit, you know, with the whole Michael Jackson thing and, you know, child molestation, all that bullshit here. Whatever makes the parent feel comfortable, I am totally down with, but I do not want the parent inhibiting the child or hindering them from expressing their true selves, because I know as having kids, your kids don't tell you everything. They hold back a lot of shit. Even being a psychic medium, I never used my ability to tap into my kids' mind. I mean, I didn't have to do it. My kids were very honest with me and upfront. I established that type of relationship early on there. I never incorporated spirituality or religion into their upbringing there. I wanted them to learn that for themselves and to be in charge of their own belief system there. And I think I was really good at doing that. But at the end of the day, they are human beings. They have their own personality. They are people just like you and I. They are going to be disappointments. They are going to be shits. They are going to be assholes here. When it comes to me helping them, I want to bring out the best in them. So again, you can choose to be there if you want to. You can choose to be in the reading when I give that child the reading, but allow them the opportunity to express themselves fully, authentically, truly, and honestly with me, and we'll see where it goes. But yeah, I think I'm good on this episode. You can definitely tell that Mercury's in retrograde in the sign of Pisces during this episode. I am all over the place. I love it, though. I am so glad I got to spend some quality time with you guys. I wanted to go over these emails. I wanted to share my thought process with you. I wanted just to reconnect and just do us. Next couple episodes, I'm having guests. I have two really, really good guests here. A really, really dear friend of mine. The first male, other than Jay. Jay is in your head family. He's part of the podcast here, so he doesn't really count. But the first male guest coming up next week, and then I have, I'm fucking dying for this one. I'm just going to give you a little bit. I am going to have some true crime talk on a couple episodes here. I am collaborating with somebody that I respect and I admire very fucking much. I cannot wait to do this episode with her, because you guys know I am all about Forensic Files. I'm all about autopsy. I'm all about forensics. Any type of fucking crime shit, I'm all about here. So I cannot wait to have her on my episode. You guys look out for that. For those of you wanting a reading, please do not hesitate to reach out. Anybody wanting me to read their child and is down with that, you can totally be a part of the reading. But like I said before, let them express themselves to me. Let me get inside their head. You're more than welcome to listen, but do not stop them. I do not mind reading children. Anybody that wants a half an hour reading, wants to learn how they can evolve their soul, transform their life, you know, live a more happier and freer life, hit me up. Let's get a half an hour session in. That is at chrismedina.guide. Again, that's chrismedina.guide. Sign up for a half an hour reading. Like I've said before, those readings usually last about 40 to 45 minutes. If you feel that you need more time, we could take it from there and we can definitely go into an hour, but I feel like 40 to 45 minutes is the perfect amount of time for you. But again, if you need more, I'm totally down with that. Anybody wanting to see what I'm up to, seeing what kind of disgusting food I'm putting in my body, see what kind of music I'm rocking to, feel free to follow me on social media at Psychic Chris M. Again, that's at Psychic Chris M. Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, that is my social media handle. For those of you wanting to give ideas for the show, wanting me to touch on topics that you truly want to know about, or just want to say hi and reach out, feel free to email me, askinyourhead@gmail.com. Again, that's askinyourhead@gmail.com for submissions, ideas, just to say what's up. You know, I welcome that shit. I'm always on the road going back and forth. I look forward to these emails. Hit me the fuck up. Until next time, you guys, this is Chris Medina with Mercury in retrograde in the sign of Pisces saying I am out.